Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'll never be your beast of burden, Harry.
Will you be my pizza burning?
Sure, I would love to. The Rolling Stones, arguably the greatest rock band of all time. I don't want to have that argument. I'm just saying you could arguably say sure. They are. There is an exhibitionism coming to Navy Pier this coming Saturday. 18,000 square feet in Festival Hall, that's toward the pier's east end. It's a collection of artifacts and interactive displays spanning the Rolling Stones more than now five-decade career, 50 years. Harry Tynowitz and Steve Johnson is the culture reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and he's talked to Mick Jagger, he's talked to Keith Richards, he is in the know. Mick loves him, Keith loves him too. And you, great piece in the Trib, Steve. Congratulations. It's such a cool opportunity, I'm sure, for you. I'm assuming you're a Stones fan getting to talk to these guys.
Just another week where I had a conversation with my good friends, Mick and Keith, you know.
How cool is that?
That was pretty awesome. Even though they have a thing they want to sell and they're doing their job, it's still like, yep, I am sitting here talking to this, this legend, legend among legends, really.
How was he? How were they both?
They were both great. I talked to Richards first, and he's a little less involved in the exhibition, so he would just kind of look at final drawings and things and kind of nod his head, I think. And so he had maybe a little less to say about the specifics of it, but he was lucid, he was friendly, he was interested in it and tried to be engaged. I think he just didn't know as much. And then Mick, who called the next day, he had been much more, I think, hands-on with the whole planning of it. He had, you know, helped to reshape some of the exhibits they were working on. At first he thought it looked too slick, the original drawings, and kind of too reverential. So we told them to dirty it up a bit, essentially. So they added a bit like the 1963 apartment that Mick and Keith and Brian Jones shared in the Chelsea neighborhood of London. I went over and was able to see the exhibition today for the first time today. And this flat is, of theirs is every bit as grungy as advertised. Beer bottles, dirty dishes, cigarette butts, and then you get to the kind of living room area, and they have all these kind of old American blues records, which were obviously their huge influence, strewn about, scattered around the record player. So it's a pretty, it makes you think back to your own cruddy early apartments, or maybe your college living situation that you shudder now when you think about.
You know, Steve, I really enjoyed your column on Sunday. And, you know, not only do they have their flat there, but they've got the costumes. They've got the instruments. How large is this exhibit?
It is genuinely huge. I mean, I was in there probably 45 minutes, paying pretty close attention. And I realized, oh, my God, I'm not even at the halfway point yet. I mean, it's just room after room. The costumes area alone is, what would I compare it to? It's maybe two bowling alleys long.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Full costumes on either side.
So it looks like your walk-in closet at home.
It's sort of like that. Yeah, I have a little more velvet than the lads do. But you know, it's kind of like that. And then there's a whole kind of recording studio area where you can strap on headphones and listen to the band members and one of their producers talk about how they would work in the studio, which was kind of cool. You played me on with Beast of Burden, I noticed. I appreciate that, Harry. That was by request.
It was Karim's idea, Lisa's idea.
Nice. one of the artifacts. There are many, many very cool artifacts, but one of the artifacts is a master tape from back in the days when they recorded things on, you know, reel to reel. And written on the outside says Beast of Burden. So it's like the actual master tape recording of that, you know, amazing classic song. And there's a bunch of other ones, too, like that, Satisfaction, et cetera, et cetera.
One thing I was reading in your piece, Steve, was how they are, I guess, somehow putting together the apartment that these guys lived in, the flat back in the 60s, and cigarette butts and beer bottles, and I guess the only thing that wasn't duplicated was the smell. But that just is, that to me sounds like something I want to experience if I was going out to Navy Pier.
Yeah, yeah. People should pay attention to that part of it. It's one of the early rooms. It's, you know, it's a nice kind of slick introduction. It shows all their albums and songs, all these great song titles through the years. And then you kind of turn around the corner and you're put right into that early days of the band there. And I think it's pretty riveting and pretty exciting in a way, because I think that's always kind of the best part of a life story, the part where they were just normal people, and, you know, before they suddenly, whatever bolt of lightning hit them and they suddenly became famous or celebrated or whatever. And I don't know if you noticed in the interview I did with Jagger, I started saying that to him, and he said, "Or maybe we weren't normal people, or maybe we still are. You never know." So actually one of my favorite moments in there.
In for Justin Kaufman, alongside Mark Kerman, I'm Harry Tynowitz. We are with Steve Johnson on Twitter. He's at Stephen K. Johnson, culture writer for the Chicago Tribune. Big story last Sunday on the Rolling Stones exhibit coming to Navy Pier Saturday, and then he toured it today. So my daughter's a sophomore in high school, and she's into 21 Pilots. She's into Fall Out Boy. If you're a younger person, and you didn't necessarily, you know, have the Stones as your backdrop in high school and college at every party you went to, on the radio, driving home, would this appeal to the young people that may not be like the hardcore Stones fans?
You know, well, three answers to that. First, I think your daughter has time to correct her musical taste and get it going. Second, still this stuff is part of the atmosphere. It's on, you know, class. There's how many classic radio stations out there? How many ball games does this stuff get played at? How many movie soundtracks? So even if she doesn't, your kids don't think they know it, they know a lot of it anyway, just by kind of osmosis.
All right. Daddy, that's the song from Goodfellas.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, why'd you watch Goodfellas? Hang on.
Yeah.
But the third thing is, you know, take away knowing the Rolling Stones music. This is kind of a story about rebellious, ambitious teenagers who, you know, worked pretty hard, not at cleaning their apartment necessarily, but at learning to play and to write songs and kind of thumbed their nose at the establishment along the way and became rich and famous. I mean, it's kind of a classic story with, I think, pretty broad appeal.
People may forget that the Stones really have a strong connection to Chicago, a lot of blues in their music,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that resonated in your interview a ton, Steve, that they enjoyed their time in Chicago and had some pretty big creative moments here.
Sure. Muddy Waters, Willie Dixon, who, you know, were some of the big stars of the Chess label were huge influences on them. Those were the guys they tried to emulate. And when they came to America, they did their first recording sessions here in the old Chess record studio at 2120 South Michigan Avenue. I was very impressed that Keith Richards was able to pull that address out of his probably somewhat tested memory through the years.
Well said.
Right. He could. This is from a guy who at one point swore he snorted his grandfather.
That's right. Yeah. He's the one who came up with the everything but the smells quote about that apartment, too.
You know, the Rolling Stones have been known for a lot of things. And I remember reading like a story that had been written in the 60s where some guy in Rolling Stone magazine, and I, as a writer, I apologize, I don't know who wrote it, Steve,
yeah.
but someone was comparing.
Were you used to that?
Yeah. Well, somebody was comparing the Beatles to the Stones, and they said the Rolling Stones, unlike the Beatles, would not be satisfied just to hold your hand.
Ah.
So is there any kind of, like, tribute to the thousands of women that the Jagger and Keith Richards and the Stones, were – you know, seen hanging with after hours, any kind of like, is there a room filled with panties?
There are, there is nothing sort of specifically about the women, Marianne Faithfull, whomever. It doesn't get to the personal level of biography. It's more about the Stones and the music. That said, I think sex kind of pervades this because it can't help doing it when you talk about this band. There's a big photo with panties on the edge of a concert stage that had apparently been thrown up there. There's some, naked photography from the album cover days, nude models that were used to make the some of the images. There's the for the ladies. There's some of those crotch shots that Andy Warhol used for the Sticky Fingers album cover.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a realization here that on a lot of, or at least on one level, rock and roll is, especially for the young men and women now purveying it, is about sex.
Mm-hmm. I like this conversation. I feel kind of guilty, slightly taking a right turn here, but I want to have the Stones. One of my buddies is a diehard Stones fan, right?
Yeah.
He did the 270 song list, top 270 songs. Here's his top 10. Want to know what you guys think? Top 10 Stone songs of all time.
Can we each guess one song that should be in the top five?
Sure. Go ahead. Absolutely.
Steve, you're the guest. You go first.
I'll go Sway.
Sway. Interesting. Go ahead, Harry.
I'm going to say Sympathy. Sympathy for the Devil's got to be in his top five.
He's got Sway at 42.
Yeah, all right.
And he's got Sympathy for the Devil at, hang on here.
Wow, you're scrolling down much?
I'm scrolling, pal. I'm scrolling. This is his top 10. And
okay.
This,
wait, Paint It Black.
Paint It Black is not in his top 10.
Moonlight Mile in there.
Moonlight Mile, not in there. Let It Loose, I Don't Know Why, Coming Down Again, She's a Rainbow, Ruby Tuesday, Jumpin' Jack Flash, Loving Cup, Out of Time, I Got the Blues, If You Really Want to Be My Friend. That was 1 to 10.
He's leaning early.
Yeah, he's going in the Wayback Machine, and I like that. I respect it. I'm a big fan of Ruby Tuesday.
You want to hear 11 to 20? I know you love it. You guys are diehards. 11 to 20, last ones. As Tears Go By, Worried About You, Waiting on a Friend, Time Is on My Side, Tell Me, Pain in My Heart, Winter, 2,000 Light Years from Home, It's Not Easy, Moonlight Mile.
Okay, I'll agree with Moonlight Mile. I think he's missing a lot of the great... the great middle period of the Stones, Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed, Sticky Fingers, the kind of 68 through 75 that really made them super, super, superstars.
Yeah.
I love Bruce Springsteen, okay? I mean, I love, adore Bruce Springsteen, but is there a greater frontman in the history of rock and roll bands than Mick Jagger?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, what a natural showman and what a natural bad boy, and yet, he wasn't just that. He was capable of singing really effectively and powerfully and writing great songs in partnership with Richards, and he was this is a big thing. He was an adult enough to be able to keep it together for many decades, he was basically the head of the business head of the band, and he's I think one of the reasons they continue as an enterprise.
18,000 square feet exhibit, Festival Hall. More importantly, you should read Steve Johnson's piece in the Tribune. Mick and Keith get satisfaction from the Stones exhibit. If you're a Stones fan, you want to read the piece. It's you got great stuff in here, Steve.
And we have one more quick plug.
Yeah.
Tomorrow online, my piece about the exhibition will be up, and it'll be in Friday's newspaper, the print edition. Buy it at your newsstands. Help send my kids to college.
Yes. Yes.
On Twitter, Stephen K. Johnson. Read him at Stephen K. Johnson. Read him in the Tribune. Steve Johnson, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on WGN Radio and for, in for just a couple of days. Wonderful to talk to you. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
All right. 720 WGN.